If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open to John chapter 8 today is where I'm going to be speaking from. And thank you for singing today. I asked if you were ready to sing, and you were. So thanks for singing. I trust that you sense God's presence here today. God's presence is here, and we want to open God's Word today. The title of the message is The Son of Man. What a great Easter we had last week. Many of you were here, some of you were not, and that's totally fine. Feel free to listen online if you want to. The sermons are typically recorded and online. We ventured away from John a little bit, from John chapter 8, but we stayed in John. And we went a couple weeks ago to John chapter 12, the triumphal entry. And then if you're here last week, we talked from John 20, where the ladies went to the tomb, and Peter and John went, and John saw and believed. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? I trust that you do. And I want to give a little tempter or a taster for next week. If you have somebody in your life that is just in bondage of some kind, I encourage you to invite them to church next week. To say, come to church. They may tell you, no, I know what the enemy wants to do. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But next week, we get into John chapter 8, verse 32, and this is what it says. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so I encourage you, if you have somebody around you, a neighbor, a friend, a coworker. And so if you have somebody around you that's in bondage or in trapping of some kind and they can be in church, I encourage you, just utter those words. Hey, you want to come to church on Sunday? If they tell you no, well, that's the way it works. But if they tell you yes, think of what could happen if they were set free. Maybe think of this. When was the day that you were set free from your sins? Do you remember that day? For some of you, it was a number of years ago when you were a little kid. For some of you, it was when you were an adult. But you remember that day. And you remember how the truth of Jesus Christ came into your life and it set you free. What a great day. And what a great day that'd be for a friend of yours. Today, we go back to, though, John chapter 8. And I'm going to be in verses 21 to 30 this morning. This chapter begins, as you remember, with the lady who was caught in adultery. And Jesus stooped down on the ground, and he wrote on the ground, and then he uttered these words, "Let him who is without sin cast the first stone." And what happened? The stones just started dropping. Well, the old ones, the seniors, those who were experienced and older, dropping their stones first, and then everybody saying, "I cannot throw a stone." Then Jesus proclaimed the second I am in John, where he said, I am the light of the world. And now Jesus goes into a further discourse, and I'm going to focus on three aspects from verses 21 to 30 today. One of those is the importance of time. The second of those is Jesus declares that he's the Son of Man. And the third of those is instructions about the Father. And so if you join me in reading God's Word today, if you would listen as I read from John chapter 8, starting at verse 21, going through verse 30. Hopefully you brought your Bible of your own. If you did not, there is probably one in a chair rack near you, and it'd be on page 894. It'll also be on the screen behind me as well. Please hear God's Word for us today. So he said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sins. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself since he says, where I'm going, you cannot come? He said to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So they said to him, Who are you? Jesus said to them, just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him. They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he and that I do nothing on my own authority. but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. The first thing I want you to see is this. Jesus gives truth. He says he is going away. The Jews are struggling to know what this really means. But it's something important for us to hear, and that what Jesus is trying to communicate. Jesus was here on earth for a certain amount of time. He was not on earth for eternity. He had a specific job. He had a specific timing. He was here how many years? How many years was he on earth? 33. He was here 33 years. His years of ministry were three years. Think on this for a moment. You may have thought of this before, but Jesus came from the wonders of heaven to live on our earth for 33 years, and then he left to go back into heaven. What if you were given a certain assignment for 3 years? This is what you need to do. You've given 3 years. Now, some of you, military, you understand that. Here's your 3 years. You go do it. And then in 3 years, you're moving on. So you better be specific about it. Jesus had 3 years. And we still worship and honor him today. And he did it in 3 years. Jesus gives us a truth. Maybe he's saying something like this. There are certain opportunities that do not return or come again. Every person is given the opportunity to receive Christ. This is a theological conundrum, one that you could actually think about and talk about over lunch if you wanted to. What happens if that person misses it? I think God continues to minister, but some of us will think, well, he missed his opportunity. He's not going to go to heaven. I think God is a merciful and loving God. But we miss some opportunities at time. And you have that opportunity. Will you receive him? Will you believe in him? Will he be Lord and Savior of your life? And will you live for him? Don't miss the opportunity. Don't miss that opportunity. I was a young boy. And we had a group come from Bartlesville Wesleyan College called Freedom Singers. Any of you remember the Freedom Singers? I figured there'd be some Wesleyans in the room that remembered the Freedom Singers. And they were a group that would come. And I lived in Kansas growing up, so Oklahoma was not so far away. And so because of that, the Freedom Singers were important in my life. I like to sing, and so I enjoyed them. And I remember one time that, like, they had a van or something, and I got a ride in the van with them too. That was like, woo, as a young kid, here's these college kids, and they were wonderful singers. What a great day that was, huh? Well, I went to college, and Freedom was still around. Freedom has not happened anymore, but Freedom was still around, and I think they got rid of Freedom Singers and just put it to Freedom. And so I thought, well, I like to sing. I'm a pretty personable guy, and so why wouldn't I be one that should make it on Freedom, right? And so I auditioned for Freedom. Anybody else auditioned for Freedom while they were at Bartlesville Wesleyan College? Angela? Okay. Well, guess what? The committee or whoever decided determined that I wasn't a good fit for that. And so guess what? That summer, I did not travel with Freedom. I personally think they missed out, but, you know, there's only so much you can expect. Not that I have a good voice, but I do have an excellent outgoing personality. That would have been the summer of 92, I believe I would have done that, and I didn't end up doing that. In the summer of 94, I actually traveled in my Mitsubishi Tradia 5-speed car all the way from Oklahoma. I think that's what I had at that point in time. And I drove to Rapid City, South Dakota. I had never been to South Dakota. I grew up in Kansas. South Dakota was, where in the world's that? And I drove, actually, I was in the house that I, the house that I stayed in is still in town here, of course. And I stayed in a house with the pastor at that point in time. And I was in that house, and it was like 25 years ago, I was driving to this place I'd had no clue about. And I interned at New Life Wesleyan Church, stayed up at the campground, or the church was at the campground, and then I ended up actually working at New Life Wesleyan Church, and several of you were involved with me at New Life Wesleyan Church. and as I interned, and then I came back and lived there. There were both opportunities for me in the summer of 92 and the summer of 94. Those were just limited. And where did they take me? Jesus is saying this: I am going away. I'm not going to be here forever. You need to be ready. We're in the last Sunday in April of 2019. This week we go to May 1, May Day. Maybe you have your May Day basket planned already. Were there things in December that you said, you know what? We really need to do this. I really need to do this. This is something that I need to be doing in 2019. And have you done it this year? And if you have, I say, great, wonderful job. Because sometimes we say, at the calendar year, I need to do this because Christ wants me to do this. This is something that God has asked me to do. And in this time, instead of wasting it, I need to do that. And you've done that. Congratulations. If that's you, you should pat yourself on the back and say, God has asked me to do this, and I've responded, and I continue to grow. Now, on the flip side of that, did you at the end of 2018 say, boy, I need to do this, and you have not done that? Our time is limited. So was Jesus. He was going to go away. He was talking about going back to heaven with God. Now, the Jews asked this question. They were confused. Are you going to kill yourself? To Jewish thought, the depths of hell were reserved for men and women who took their own lives. They wondered if Jesus was going to do this. And maybe they were saying this, maybe he will take his own life, maybe he's on the way to the depths of hell. It is true that we cannot and will not follow him there. And so maybe they were thinking that he's going to go to the depths of hell. Well, we're not doing that. That's not us. But Jesus said if they refused him, they would die in their sins. The word for sin is harmatia. Harmardia. It was originally had to do with the shooting, and it literally means missing the mark. And if we refuse to accept Jesus, we miss the mark and sin and miss the target of life. See, sin separates us from God, and all of us were born sinners. What happened when Adam first sinned? You know what he did? He hid from God. Why? Because he now knew the truth, and the truth didn't set him free. The truth made him feel like he was naked and ashamed. And so that's why he hid. If you know the truth, and the truth comes out, then you stand on 2 feet, and you're not worried about how everything else comes out. But if you don't do the truth, then you hide. Jesus says this, number two, he is from out of this world. He is building a case where he's going to be going in a few minutes of this discourse when he refers to himself as the Son of Man, which we'll get to in a couple of moments. Jesus came from heaven. He was fully God and he was fully man, and he lived on this earth to understand and die for our sins as a perfect lamb. But he was going to return to heaven. He's saying, I'm going away. And he is there now, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. If you go back to chapter 7, verse 33, he says just about the same thing. Here's what he says. I will be with you a little longer, and then I'm going to him who sent me. And so he says, this is what has happened. Oh, and then he says it here in John chapter 8. Then, if you go ahead to John chapter 13, verse 36, guess what he says again? Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward. Interesting. What is Jesus saying here in John chapter 8? I think he's setting the stage for where he's going. And then, if you're still in John chapter 13, he goes to John chapter 14. And what does he say? Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. But guess what I do? I go to prepare a place for you. He's setting up the stage saying, you can't do this. You can't do this. You can't do this. And then he says, guess what? I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to go back into heaven, and then I'm going to make a place. By the way, Some of you have some really nice places, but they're nothing like heaven. I mean, seriously, think about this for just a moment. I believe in the literal seven-day creation, six-day, and he rested. And if he took 24 hours to make all of this, this is wonderful. I mean, he's been making 2,000 years a place for me. That's going to be a marvelous place, isn't it? And he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and then you may go where I am going. Jesus then says this in John 14, verse 6. I'm getting a little ahead of myself in the book of John, but it's there. And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And Jesus is saying, you can't get to heaven on your own. You will die in your sins. But if you trust in me, you get to go to heaven. That's what he's saying. So I'm going to take an opportunity here for just a moment. And I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. And I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I think many of you have prayed to the Lord before and asked him to be Lord and Savior of your life. But the scripture says, if you don't know him, that you will die in your sin. And I don't want anybody to leave this morning without the assurance in your heart and in your soul that you have a home in heaven and that you will not need to die in your sins. So pray with me for a moment. God, I pray for each man, each woman, each boy, and each girl in the sanctuary here today. God, if there be somebody here this morning that does not know you as Savior and Lord, I pray that they would say, oh, Heavenly Father, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins so that I may go to heaven with you someday. May they repent of their sins and have a right relationship with you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for praying with me today. And if you prayed to receive Christ today, please let me know after the service. Number three, they did not understand. Why did they not understand? The same reason why you and I don't understand. These are lofty concepts to understand. They are mind-boggling. Why? Because we are finite, and some of us won't allow our minds to think this highly. We'd limit ourselves. We actually at times say, well, I have a college education, I have a doctorate. And we say we have this higher learning, thus we know more, that our understanding is greater than many. However, if you truly want high learning, think on the Lord and his glory. Maybe another way to look at this is we live in this world, or the Greek word for that is we live in this cosmos. And so we think of everything in this world, but there is more than just this world, right? There is more than this world. But only until we understand are we able to be thinking of things above. Paul says it this way in Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 to 4. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. We are limited in this cosmos. Yes, the cosmos, the world is God's creation, but it is only part of it. Heaven is waiting as well. John tells us in John 15, 18, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. G.K. Chesterton, some of you might know that name, said that a man is not what he was meant to be. And do you know why that is? Sin. That's why man is not what man or woman needs to be. Sin separates us from God. Why the murders in Sri Lanka? Sin. There will be more of that. I'm sorry, I don't like that. It's actually quite devastating. It's like, where is the latest that's going to happen this week? Sin. If you read the paper, you find out about a pot bust, or there's cheating, or lying, or stealing, or addictions. Why? Sin. So it could be said in this way, if you will not believe that I am who I am, you will die in your sins. Maybe you can look at it this way. You have something wrong with you physically. and you go to the doctor. He gives you a prescription and tells you it's treatable, your infection can be taken care of, but what do? Most of us take the pill. But what if you refuse? The cure is right there. And the cure of our sins is Jesus Christ. This is what he's saying. You need to believe in me, Jesus. Number four, Jesus announces his death. He does not say if, he says when. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, he's announcing his death at that point in time. And he says, only then will you know. What is mentioned here about the Son of Man? What is that actually saying? Talking about the crucifixion, this phrase, Son of Man, is important in the Gospels. It's mentioned around 80 times. All of the ones in John, Jesus is the speaker, and he's referring to himself. Not somebody else is giving him this name. Jesus is giving himself this name. In Matthew, there's 32 times the Son of Man is used. Mark 14, Luke 26, in John here 10 to 12. And he is not the only one that's called the Son of Man. In Ezekiel is referred to as the Son of Man, actually 93 times. And there's some references of thinking maybe Jesus is referring to Daniel with the Son of Man. There's other titles that are given to Jesus in John. The I Ams, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, the Word, Lamb of God, elect, Messiah, Son of Joseph, Son of God. In John chapter 3, when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, he talks about the Son of Man. So what is Jesus saying here? Why does he continue to refer to himself as the Son of Man? I think Jesus is referring to himself as the Son of Man to say that he was fully human, that he can identify with you and I, that he was the perfect sacrifice as a man and not just as a son of God. He wasn't just God. He experienced human things, and he identifies with us. The fifth thing I want you to see is this. Jesus tells us about the Father. You have to kind of look at the scripture here, and I hope that you can pull these out of here in order to grab these, but I think these might be encouraging and challenging for each of us today. There's four things in these two verses of 28 and 29 that Jesus tells us about the Father. Let me share them with you. Let me read those verses again and then share them, the ones that I grab out of there. So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. Here are the four things that I see. One, Jesus' speech was from the Father. I speak just as the Father taught me. Jesus' speech was from the Father. Number two, speak just as the Father taught me, and he who sent me, Jesus, was sent by the Father. Number three, and he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone. The Father is always with the Son. The Father was always with the Son. And the fourth thing that's in there is in the last verse, the last part of the verse, for I always do what is pleasing to the Father. So I ask that question of ourselves this morning. Number one, do you speak words from the Father? Is your language godly language? I think it's in Matthew. I don't have the reference right off the top of my head. Says, for every idle word we use, we will be held accountable in the day of judgment. Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but that only what is helpful in building others up. If Jesus spoke from the Father, shouldn't we? How's your language? As you think back to your language this last week with maybe a spouse, a coworker, maybe a child, if you're a parent, maybe a friend, maybe about your neighbor. Is your speech from the Father like Jesus? The second thing, do we realize and live like we are sent by the Father? Jesus was sent by the Father, so are we. How do we know that? Matthew 28. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. In just a couple of minutes, you may leave the building, you may stay for a treat, you may stay for Sunday school, but when you leave from the building, you realize that you are being sent. You are sent, just like Jesus was sent here to our earth for a time. Number three, the Father's with the Son, God is always with you. Maybe you just need to be the one to hear that this morning. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Maybe you have felt, where are you at, God? Here's what he says. He has not left me alone. I know there are some of you in this room that are single. Hear this. God has not left you alone. And even though you may be married, sometimes you feel like you're alone. God has not left you alone. And then the final one of these four, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. Now, if that's not a challenge for you this week, write it on a little piece of card and put it on your mirror and remind yourself, I always do things that are pleasing to him. The things you eat, the things you drink, the words you say, the places you go to, strive for that. Jesus did it. When I look at these four, I think, whew. He gives us the key, though. Do you see the key? I think he gives us the key to how we do this. And it's the three words right before verse 29. And here it is. Speak just as the Father taught me. I think that's the key. We have to be in a place of learning from the Father in order to be able to do these things. Might be in a classroom setting. It might be on the job training. But in order to be able to do these things and accomplish things, we have to be taught by the Father. Doesn't necessarily mean in the classroom, but we have to have some kind of study. Sometimes it's reading the textbook. Many of you are older and you're not involved in reading textbooks. When I would read textbooks in college, you know what I would do? Fall asleep, because they're boring. Don't fall asleep with God's word. God's word is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. Ponder and maybe share about this over the lunch. What has the Father, what has God or Heavenly Father been teaching you? Has it been teaching you something? If so, share it over lunch. 2 Peter chapter 2. God does this in us by his divine power, helping us to increase in life and godliness by drawing us closer to himself through his word of promise that we might actually partake of him, dwell with and abide in him, and leave the corrupt practices of the sinful world behind. That's not 2 Peter, that's another quote. But here's what 2 Peter says. His divine power has given everything we need for life and godliness so that we may escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. He's given us of that. And then number six, I want you to see this. Verse 30. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. I find this interesting, and maybe you're catching it through the passage. Maybe you're not. Not that big of a deal, but I think it is. I find this interesting. He is telling the Jews that they basically can't come to him. You're going to die in your sins. You're worthless. You're messing up. And then he says, and then the scripture says, many believed in him. I just think it's kind of funny. How does this happen? I think it this way. When we point others to Jesus, not all but some will believe, even against all odds. When people are like, I don't get it, I don't understand, I'm not sure. Against all odds, if somebody is instructed and believes in the Father, the change happens. I don't know if you've ever had that opportunity to lead somebody else to the Lord. When you do that, there is just a change. They're like, oh, okay. Because why? It goes back to thinking things of the Father. And when we think things of the Father, then these things make sense. But until then, we just get muddled. Where are you going? We don't understand what you're saying. How can you? And then still many believed in him. Heaven is a wonderful place. And Jesus is telling us this. If we do not know him, we don't get to go to heaven. Despite being a man, Jesus spoke as the Father instructed. He knew he was sent by the Father. He knew that God was with him, and he always did pleasing things to the Father. May you and I, this week, may we look at this and believe in him and do these things like he's asked us to do. Would you bow your heads? And would you pray with me today? Thank you, God, for your love for each one of us. Thank you for your grace that you bestowed to us. I pray that you would encourage each person in this room. They've had opportunity to believe in you. I pray that they would. And that you would instruct them. And that you would show them heavenly, wonderful, godly things. Things that we would never even know, but because of you being our God and you creating us and you bestowing your wisdom to us, may there be such knowledge that comes to us this week. God, give us discernment and understanding. May we speak as speaking the very words of God. May we be confident and know that you are with us. May we know that you are sending us. And may each one of us in here this week always do the things that are pleasing to you. We can't do that on our own, Lord. And so we need to be taught those things, and we need to spend time learning. And so, God, would you help us to learn? Help us to spend the time and study that we need to in order to love and honor and serve you. And as we leave today, God, may we again say we believe in you, Almighty God. We believe in you, Jesus Christ. We believe in you, Holy Spirit. And we aim to live for you with your presence in our lives all this week. Go before us, guide each footstep, help each thought, and the actions we do, may they be pleasing in your sight. We love you and we pray this in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.